Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
All right, here we are. No, it's all set. I'm not in a diaper. You just swore on the show. It's recording. I'm not in a diaper. And I don't have my cheek in the way. All right, this is it. This is behind the scenes. This is the magic. This is another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast, the only podcast listened to by about three people out there who have less to do than we do. It's Friday morning, 8:45 a.m. I'm tired because I only slept about 4 hours because I was up after watching Thor Ragnarok, and then I wrote a review, and then you're already up at 5 in the morning texting me wanting a podcast about it. So I'm not doing the introductions because why waste time? Let's get right into it. I saw the movie. It was one of the best Marvel movies they ever made. Not the best Marvel movie every day, but one of the best ones. A lot of action, a lot of humor. At some time I thought it was almost a comedy, but that's fine. Because the only problem when you do stuff like that, if you make it too funny and then you suddenly want to shift gears and make it serious, it's hard for the audience to know what the hell you're up to. It's like, oh, what, now you're serious? You know, I don't get it. You were making jokes for the last 2 hours. Now we're supposed to be taking it seriously. But it was the best of the Thor movies. And it was nonstop action. It was a very fast movie. And I already want to go see it for a second time because I'm sure I missed a lot. There was some cameos in there by some famous actors as well. I don't know if John saw those. And it was a good movie, and Thor's character developed, and he actually started, if you look at all three movies, from where he started to where he ended, he out of all the heroes, Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, everybody, Thor's is the only story that actually had a beginning and an end. And that's what I think. What do you think, John?
I thought, okay, what celebrity did I probably miss?
You missed Matt Damon.
Who?
Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I did notice that.
Matt Damon was in there. Sam Neill, the guy who's from the Jurassic Park movies, he was in there, too. In the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, that's right. I totally forgot about that, but I knew it was Matt Damon. I thought that was funny.
I was surprised. At first, I was like, oh, my God, is that who I think it is? And it was. I go, what the hell's he doing in this movie, you know? So.
Yeah, overall though, I agree with you. I thought it was a great movie, one of the better ones. It was fun. It wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. It wasn't as fun as Guardians of the Galaxy 2 for me, even though I liked the portrayal of the Hulk. It's like you said. If they can go, they got to keep it.
If they did this movie, if they did the same movie we saw, but it did it as a serious movie without all the jokes, I think it would have been a disaster.
Yes, exactly. And we can both agree the funniest part for me was when Ruffalo, as Bruce Banner, he tries to show what the girl, the Valkyrie, what he can do, and he jumps out of the ship. And
yep.
He lands flat on the Rainbow Bridge. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. He was going to do that. Let me show you how I can change as the Hulk in mid-flight. And he didn't change. He just landed with like a bird hitting a window. It was like thud.
But how he splats so hard, too. And when you see him, he's all broken.
He's all crumbled up on the floor. Yeah, like his spine has been crushed.
Yeah, that was funny. But I enjoyed it. Like I said, I think the portrayal of the Hulk's power was a little low for me.
Yeah, you think Cursed from the second movie came across as stronger than the Hulk. That's what you said.
Yes, well, it's the dynamic. I know Cursed starts off stronger than the Hulk, but the Hulk gets madder and he gets stronger, and that element is missing from the Hulk.
Yeah, they didn't say that. I thought they were going to say those words at one point when the Hulk was...
I think the element is missing. If you look at the Avengers, you look at... Let's go back for a second. Look at that first Hulk movie. We're talking about the one with...
Ed Norton.
In the Marvel Cinematic Universe when he fights the Abomination.
Right.
He doesn't get madder and stronger in that. He doesn't.
No.
And he doesn't really leap. It's like, that's a big part of the Hulk's power. Then you look at Avengers. Yeah, he's all powerful, but he never really had a chance to rev up. You look at the second Avengers.
Yeah.
There's nothing that he really does that exemplifies that type of like that rage that, and then he gets stronger and he overcomes things. That's the whole basis of the Hulk's power, and he didn't have that in the fight. And I question whether he even has that power in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because let's look at something in Avengers 2 when he fights that Hulkbuster armor. It's He essentially loses. Like, he gets... I mean, he gets...
Well, he's under a trance. You could write it off to that. He's under...
Right. You can say he's a little dizzy and all that stuff. Yeah. Right, I get it. But it's like, his power never generated to more, like, world-crushing power.
There's never been...
I think they have to tone him down a little, but he is not as powerful as he is in the comics.
There's never been a situation in any of the movies where he has to rip off the side of a mountain or do something incredible like that. He's just usually in a fight with people that are almost not as strong as he is, but not too much weaker.
No, I get you there, but I'm a little disappointed with that, because you got to understand, I'm a Hulk purist, Mitch. But I have to admit, they did a good job with it. It was entertaining. I liked his little dynamic with the Valkyrie. That was good too. You know, they were kind of like friends.
There was a weird time shift thing going on at one point, and I was going to wonder if they were going to use that to introduce Scar, son of Hulk. Do you know what I'm talking about? When Thor went to go walk around, and he did a complete circle when he was in that like prison, and he's like, "Oh yeah,
I didn't like Scar. I mean, like, I'm not a big fan of that."
No, but I think they kind of like left it open. There was another little bit about time shifting they mentioned in there. When he's like, "How long have you been here?" 2 years. And Loki, "How long have you been here?" "Oh, I've been here for a month now." And there was something going on with time. And I don't know why that was even in there. Sometimes they put things in movies, you're like, is this going to pay off at the end? Or is this...
Well, it might have been the time gem somewhere, somehow. We don't know. It could all add up. I don't know. But what about the stone guy? He was kind of funny.
Oh, Korg? Korg? Is that his name? K-O-R-G?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was funny. That's why I said you got to be careful with his humor. If you put too much jokes in, you're never going to think it's a serious... Oh, this is the time to be serious, you know?
But it'll turn into the 66 Batman.
That's yeah, did you see the some of the other cameos in there besides Matt Damon and Sam Neill? Did you see Beta Ray Bill?
No, I didn't.
Ordway caught that. It was on the Grandmaster's, like, castle or whatever his headquarters were. They had the heads of the greatest champions they ever had there, and if you look, there was one that looked like the Bi-Beast. He had two heads, and then they also had Beta Ray Bill's head was on the left hand side.
Oh, wow. So like, the Hulk actually killed those two guys.
I must have been, because I was like, oh well, at one that means he was there at some point.
Well, if you know something, Mitch, have you ever seen the Planet Hulk animated series?
Yes, they have Beta Ray Bill in that one.
Yeah, but do you know, because you know who was essentially supposed to be that? It was supposed to be, in the comic book, it was Silver Surfer.
Right.
The Silver Savage.
But they didn't have the rights to him.
Right, so they have him beat the crap, and he beats the crap out of the Silver Surfer, so they have him beat the crap out of Beta Ray Bill. So maybe that's a little nod to that.
Maybe. Cool. Yeah, that was cool. Well, some other cameos. Doctor Strange was in it, and I think they used him really just to speed up the story a little bit, because they didn't want to waste an hour trying to find Odin. I mean, literally, Doctor Strange shows up and collapses that story down to about 5 minutes, you know?
Right. I thought that was, I think he does a good job at that. Right, I mean, that's the one thing I thought about the story, because they just got into it really quick. It was just like boom, 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 and here you go. We're already going. He's already in this chase, you know.
Yeah.
But I liked it, Mitch. I mean, it was entertaining. You know, I think.
No, if I said, if you go to look back at the first Hulk, I mean, the first Thor movie, he's kind of a young guy, he's fighting, and that's why his father sends him to Earth to teach him a lesson, because he's arrogant and he's impulsive, and he'll never be the future king of Asgard if he acts that way. So that's the first movie. So then in the second movie, Thor the Dark World, he thinks Loki dies, and then he at the end of that movie, was he still... I'm trying to remember, at the end of Thor the Dark World, they set it up to... Oh, no, I'm sorry. He leaves. He gives up the throne, and Loki tricks everybody in pretending to be Odin and takes his place. You know?
Yeah.
And then in this movie, what happens throughout the movie, he ends up just becoming the default king of Asgard. So he accepts his role, and he even ends up looking like his father, because we... Spoiler alert, if you haven't figured it out, he loses his eye, so that he almost looks like him. And he's the only one left, and he has to lead the people of Asgard. So Iron Man really didn't have a big shift in all the movies, if you really look back. Tony Stark starts off as a rich, selfish, millionaire playboy with the weapons manufacturing, and then he gives that up. And Iron Man 2, did he learn anything in Iron... Oh, yeah, he was dying in Iron Man 2. He had that infection in his bloodstream, and they fixed it. How do they fix it in Iron Man 2, actually, now that I think about it?
Well, no, Mitch, let's go back to...
Oh, yeah, he invents a new repulsor arc reactor that he puts in his chest, and that cures that weird thing he had. And then in Iron Man 3, he got the arc reactor taken out of his chest. He became a normal guy at the end. So there's actually some sign of development going on here, you know?
But Mitch, now to look into the future, I ask you this... I'll ask you this on the air. What Marvel character is going to die? I mean, there's probably going to be a few, but who do you think is going to die in the...
Infinity War?
Obviously, a few are going to be going.
The Infinity War, which is the next big movie, comes out next April. They show that at the end of Thor. It said Thor will return in Avengers Infinity War, along with Spider-Man as well, I think. I think Spider-Man's in that one, right?
Yeah, they're all in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw Spider-Man on the set. They had him and Tom Holland and Captain Chris Evans. They were all filming it with Star-Lord as well. I think if we want to do the death list, the Deadpool, it's going to be Captain America, because he's the big heart of the Avengers. You get rid of Cap, he's going to be gone. Who he'll be replaced by? I say Bucky, you say Falcon. Thor will go off into space like he is now. He won't die. Iron Man, would Tony Stark really die? That would really be a shocker, wouldn't it? After all this.
I just can't see him going. He's the face of the whole thing.
Oh, a Hawkeye. You could lose Hawkeye. Nobody would shed a tear.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah. See, everybody forgets.
Black Widow, because she might have her own movie, correct?
Yeah, Black Widow that could replace Nick Fury. No, you know who could die? Nick Fury could be taken out of Infinity War. He's not really a superhero, but he could go. He's kind of already gone as it is. Who else could go? They're not going to kill Ant-Man. They're not going to kill Doctor Strange.
Not too new. The Hulk. The Hulk is going to...
They're not going to hurt any of the Guardians of the Galaxy. They're not going to kill the Hulk. Though they did leave it open that Mark Ruffalo said that in this latest movie that he was the Hulk for 2 years, and that if he changes again, he might lose being Bruce Banner. So there was a little subplot there. So maybe they just CGI the Hulk and they get rid of Mark Ruffalo and they don't have to worry about it anymore. There's one less actor.
And the Hulk will never age, so you can always keep him, the actor's age. You can always keep him new and fresh.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about Ruffalo getting killed off. Maybe he did this time. He said, next time I turn into the Hulk might be the last time I'm Bruce Banner. So maybe this was the last time we see Mark Ruffalo. I don't know. I doubt it, because he's already filming down in Atlanta with the other ones. Rocket Raccoon's not going to die. I think it's just going to be Captain America, Hawkeye, maybe Scarlet Witch, maybe Vision. No.
Vision? Yeah, I think Scarlet Witch and Vision are going to get together. I think that's going to be...
Like in the comics, yeah. I think Black Widow replaces Nick Fury as the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cap dies. Maybe Bucky dies. Maybe Bucky and Cap go out together like Thelma and Louise.
Well, because if you think Cap is going to die, you're going to have to remember both of the Bucky and Sam Wilson have become Cap. So who takes the mantle?
I said it's Bucky, but you say they're going to go with the Falcon.
I'm saying it's going to go with the Falcon because PC is going to win out in the end no matter what.
Would you consider Loki a bad guy? Would he show up in Infinity War and get killed?
Who?
Loki.
No, Loki's going to stick around. I mean,
do you think Red Skull's going to show up finally after all these years?
No, I don't think Red Skull's going to show up.
No, they always kind of hinted that he got taken away to another dimension.
But, Nick, why do you think Cap's going
to... I think it's just him. That'll be the biggest tragedy. Everybody will flip out, you know?
But he's going to kill off Thanos. He's going to hit the final blow, right?
Yeah, but what would he use? They don't have...
That's the whole point. It kills him, but it takes out Thanos, too.
Yeah, he would go out.
If you think Cap's going to die, it's got to be like... It's got to be...
It's got to be epic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a big thing.
Does Thor get a new hammer, you think? Because he lost it in this one. Well, no, Odin gave it to him.
Because it's in him. Because remember, Odin said in Ragnarok that it just channeled his power.
So he never needed it, yeah.
Right. So essentially, as he's becoming King Thor, he's coming into one with the Odin force. You know, like he's coming into his own now.
So we don't need that anymore.
Yeah, you don't need Mjolnir.
We're done. And
I don't know if you know this, but Chris Hemsworth kind of wanted it to go in that direction. He was so sick of, like, Thor with the hammer.
You know? Was he? Is that what, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that was a big reason why they went into that direction, that he doesn't have the hammer anymore.
Oh, I did not know that at all. I was wondering why. I was like, really, Thor with no hammer? I don't know. All right, we're going way off topic here. I mean, we're going back about the movie. You called me up screaming about the movie, about how it was so great and everything.
Yeah, because I wanted to know what Mitchie thought, because you obviously you went with what was Jerry Ordway's opinion of it?
He goes, I liked it, and that's the funny thing. I waited so long to see this movie. I mean, I waited for like a year. As soon as they said the Hulk and Thor were teaming up, I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. And then it's so funny. Once you watch these movies and it's over, you're almost in a dreamlike state. You don't even realize it's over. You're like, I waited all the time.
Let me ask you this, Mitch. What? Mitch, let me ask you this. Did you think the Hulk vs. Thor fight lived up to the hype?
Yeah. The arena fight? That was a good fight. Yeah. Yeah. Why, you don't?
No. I thought it was great. It's so kind of unfortunate that the trailer. I mean, obviously they have to get people into the theater to see the fight, and they got to promote it as Hulk vs. Thor. But wouldn't it have been better if you didn't know who was going to fight, and all of a sudden the Hulk comes?
Yeah, but you can't. Nowadays they can't keep secrets. Everybody finds out everything.
But, right. And they got to promote it that way because the Hulk is just as big as throwing the shirts. And they merchandise the crap out of this stuff, right?
There's stuff. Even in the lobby at the movie theater, the IMAX, they sell T-shirts when you walk in. They sell little toys, like stuffed animals and stuff. I'm like, really? Wow. It's crazy.
Yeah, they really pulled to this
Mitchie,
one.
Little Mitchie didn't buy it, though. Usually Little Mitchie gets a cup. If I go and get like a soda, they'll have a Thor cup or something. I'll buy that. And downstairs, I have a stack of these stupid cups that I get from these movies that I'll never do anything with. But I have like Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man.
And did they have a Thor Ragnarok cup?
No, they actually were pushing the Justice League. And I'm like, who the frig wants the Justice League? It was a cup. And Ordway did. He goes, aren't you going to get the cup? I'm like, no, it's the Justice League. Why do I want that, Mr. Go-Go Check? So
people should know, Ordway is a big DC guy, and Mitch is a big Marvel.
Oh, yeah, it's hysterical, because I'm ripping apart the Justice League movie poster they have out in the lobby, and Jerry's taking pictures with it. He's all excited. I'm like, look at Flash. That's stupid. Why does he have all that plastic armor crap on him? I mean, he's supposed to run fast. You don't see runners out there with wearing giant
Mitchie,
things.
So after you've seen Thor Ragnarok, where do you rate it as...
Oh, you're bringing me back. All right, because I was going to go. Real quick, speaking of DC, the last thing I'll say. So, wait a minute. DC's all excited because they have their big movie coming out. You know, Justice League, this is the make or break thing. This is their Avengers, right? What do you think what do you think the House of Ideas did that weekend? What do you think the folks at Marvel did that weekend? That the big Justice League opens up. That's when they drop the Punisher TV series on Netflix. You think that's by accident?
It's the same time?
Yep. They did that exact thing when they opened up with Batman versus Superman. The same weekend that opened up, they dropped the Daredevil.
So what happens is people are like, I'll just go see it next week.
Yeah, I'll stay home and I'll watch Punisher because it's 13 episodes. So that's going to take you all weekend if you go to watch it. So there they go. They know it's the same audience. They know the people going to see Punisher are going to go see that movie. So they're going to just take a... I think it's funny. I think it's just hysterical how they continually fight back and forth between the two of them. You know? And there's a big Star Wars video game that comes out that day as well. Now, the connection there is Star Wars is owned by Disney, and Disney owns Marvel. So you think that's coincidence, too, that they drop a giant video game on the same day as this new movie opens? Because they're going to get another bunch of kids who aren't going to go to the show. They're all going to stay home to play the video game.
So. And don't forget about the Weinstein scandal that Ben Affleck's in there.
And you're not going to see Affleck on any TV shows in the next week or two talking about that.
Let me ask you this, Mitch. What? Is it going? Okay. Is Justice League going to make as much as Thor?
No, we already went through this. No. Thor, I said, is going to make 125.
Is it going to bomb? Is it going to bomb, Mitch?
It'll make money, but I bet it's not going to make as much as Wonder Woman.
Wow.
Wonder Woman is the biggest DC movie of all time. Wonder Woman actually made more money than the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 this summer.
Yeah, and this is where me and Mitch want to fight. I think it's still the best superhero movie made.
Yeah, that's your opinion. Wonder Woman is mediocre at best.
Okay, so Mitchie,
let's go back to Thor. We were talking about Thor. We're talking about Thor Ragnarok. Come on, stay on target. Stay on focus.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So where does Thor Ragnarok rank on the list of the best?
In the Uncle Mitchie world of the Marvel, the top three or four, it's first one to me is Winter Soldier, then Avengers, then it's Guardians of the Galaxy 1, then it's Thor Ragnarok. I'll put it up there. And then Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And then Captain America. And that's my top six, I think that is. What do you think? Where do you rank it, Johnny?
Once again, Wonder Woman is number one.
Right.
Number two, I got to say, I had a little more fun with Guardians of the Galaxy 2. A little more fun, and then I'll put in Thor Ragnarok. No, then I'm going to put in Avengers, and then Thor Ragnarok.
Now, do you know how they always say that, you know, Hugh Jackman is Wolverine and all these certain people? Can you picture anybody playing Thor other than Chris Hemsworth?
No, that's going to be tough. Chris Hemsworth.
Well, I don't think they'll ever replace him. I think they'll just make Thor go off.
I can't see Chris Evans. I mean, they're so ingrained into the culture because they had so many movies. It's like Robert Downey Jr. Who the hell can be Iron Man?
I think there were some funny jokes in this movie when the Hulk has to dress up and, well, Bruce Banner has to dress up in clothes, and they find some of Tony Stark's clothes on board the old Quinjet, and he's like, God, these pants are so tight, you know? And he keeps pulling at the crotch the whole time.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. He's got, like, I think it's the Duran Duran shirt.
Yeah. He's like, who's? Well, look at these clothes. He's got the glasses. They're trying to hide out on an alien planet. And he goes, I'll disguise myself as Tony Stark.
And these are my other two questions. What did you think of Valkyrie and Grandmaster? Two of the Roy Thomas characters.
I thought Jeff Goldblum just acted like Jeff Goldblum. It was like, why is this guy from New Jersey in the middle of outer space? There was nothing alien about him. You know? Isn't he in the comics? Isn't the Grandmaster the brother of the Collector?
Well, they are, yeah. They're all linked together. All the Guardians, the Elders of the Universe.
Yeah, but he didn't come across as an elder of anything, you know?
Yeah, but I think maybe in the next Avengers one, we're going to see the... Because you're going to see the Collector. You're going to see... You're going to definitely see... I think you're going to see them together. I think we're going to get a couple more of them. I swear to God, I even think that you're going to see, like, the Ravagers. They might not have huge parts, but little parts that they're going
to
have.
Well, like there's supposed to be 68 or 67 characters in the next movie.
Think about it this way. What? This is how you're going to see them. when I know Thanos is going to click his fingers and he's going to kill off half of the galaxy.
That's
you know,
true.
Like it's what he did in the Infinity Gauntlet. So that's where I think you're going to see a lot of those beats of, oh my God, you're going to see, oh, they die. You know, you're going to see them like, where did, what happened to him? You know, like that's how I think they're going to get them in there.
Yeah, well, we're going to see that, and then I'm trying to think of...
You're going to see a lot of ties to the Infinity Gauntlet, because that's obviously what it is. And I wonder what Jim Starlin is going to be in there. What is he going to have?
As a cameo? As a cameo, you mean?
Yeah, he gets he's in a cameo in there, so we'll find out where he is.
All right, well, going back to the movie, it was fun. It was very fast-moving. I mean, I can't think of a slow moment. It was one fight, then there was chase scenes, then there was another fight. It just kept moving, which is fine. That's what I want from a comic book movie. Tons of Jack Kirby designs. I noticed all the guards in the background, their helmets, all were right out of a Jack Kirby with that weird... I mean, it just looked like Kirby stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like the weird... How do you describe Jack Kirby's artwork? A lot of circles, a lot of jagged lines, a lot of weird shadows or something?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. A great homage.
Yeah. A lot of that was going on in the background. What other Kirby? There was another thing that looked very Kirby-esque. I was watching it. Can't think of it right now. Stan Lee, of course, had his cameo. One of the funnier Stan Lee cameos.
Cutting the hair of Thor.
Crazy old barber. And who else was really funny? Valkyrie was good. I didn't remember that. Is that from the comics that the Valkyries... See, I always think of Valkyries that one girl with the blonde hair and the Broomhilda look with the metal bikini from the comics created by Roy.
In mythology, the Valkyries were when the warrior would die, a heroic death, and they would go to Valhalla, it would be the Valkyries that would come to get him and bring his spirit to Valhalla.
Right.
That's what the Valkyries were. But she was like a warrior maiden in the comic books and stuff, you know?
Yeah,
and
but
they
called
her the Valkyrie.
But did she have a separate name? She probably did, and I'm not remembering it.
Well, her name was... No, it was Valkyrie. No, it wasn't Valkyrie. That was her name.
Yeah, well, in the movie, they make it like the Valkyries are like the Green Berets. That's just the division of the...
Well, essentially, that has it does have some ties with what the Valkyries really were.
Right, like that's what I'm saying. But Valkyrie in the comics, I always thought that was her name. You know?
Right.
Like
correct.
Not she that her first name is... Not that her first name is Val, and her last name is Curie.
But I did like how they had that, and they mentioned Dragon Fang, which you totally missed, right?
Oh, yeah, the sword. I missed that. You were telling me about that. I have that Simonson stuff. I read all the Walt Simonson things, but was that...
But Dragon Fang was... that was around since the 70s. He's been... You got a bunch of Roy stuff, man.
Well, there was a lot of credits on that thing. There was Mike Ploog, Marv Wolfman, Roy Thomas, Walt Simonson, of course.
Now I know what... Listen, we were talking about this before, But Marv Wolfman was there. I know why he was there. Because remember we were talking about that Thor series? I don't know if you remember in the comic books, Odin came to Earth and he hung out as a farmer and stuff. And he had overalls and all that stuff. I don't know if you remember that stuff.
That wasn't during that J. Michael Straczynski stuff, was it?
No. This is we're talking about in the 70s. We're talking about this in the 70s. He hung out on Earth for a while, and that's where they got Odin in those overalls and stuff. Let me ask you this. Was Jerry Conway also mentioned?
Yeah, his name was on the credits.
Yeah, because he could have wrote those stories, too, because I think he wrote the book. But if I know you don't know a lot of that 70s stuff, but like for Thor and stuff. But yeah, Odin hung around with farmers for a long time in the stories. He was... He kind of lost his mind, and he was on Earth.
I just bought the volume 3 of the Thor book. Is that in that series?
No, that's still a little too early.
All right, because, I mean, like I said, Thor was one of those books as a kid. I mean, when I would put my stack of books together, Thor would kind of go on the bottom above Submariner. You know what I mean? It's not like one that I was dying to read, because it was very... Thou and thee and Yaust and
Yoast. See, I like that. That's why Thor was one of my favorites. And I read.
Oh, you liked it because of that?
Yeah, I love that. It's called pseudo-Shakespearean English.
I like the Tales of Asgard stories that were in the back of the books better. I like the supporting.
He hated those. I absolutely hated
those. I like those better than the main Thor story. I like the supporting cast. Now, do you consider Thor the comic book a science fiction comic book or a mythology comic book?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. Kirby threw a lot of that both because I think because the fact that you could use him in space. Thor, see, Thor, what made Thor cool? The comic books. It was not. It wasn't really on Earth. It always had like cosmos. Yeah. There's always a lot more other stuff going on. You know, so that's. So I think Thor was definitely a little bit of he was sci-fi mythology. I think that's what he was. Because I mean, if you see all that Kirby electronic stuff, you saw all that stuff in the comics.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was very science fiction. It wasn't until he became on the movies that you really got the like, oh wow, Thor is really outer space. It's really cosmic stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's cosmic stuff. It was. He was more accessible than the Silver Surfer. The stuff that they tried to... Silver Surfer just wasn't... Thor was more liked than the Silver Surfer. Like, I mean, you did the cosmic stuff with the Silver Surfer, but he was such a pacifist. You know, he's a pansy.
Wait. Thor was a pansy?
No. Silver Surfer.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was, you know, anti-war. He was a hippie.
No, so I'm talking about, like, that the cosmos stuff. Thor just had a better grasp of... Comic readers like Thor better. You know, that's why I think Silver Surfer tried to play on that, but it just didn't work. They didn't like Silver Surfer as much as they
Well, remember that. They had that epic fight in Silver Surfer number 4, the cover?
Yeah, when he's fighting Thor.
Yeah. Who wins in that one?
Nobody won, but...
They're all ties.
No, hold on. Will you let me explain?
Go ahead.
Not interrupt me when we're talking about superhero slugfest, because nobody knows a slugfest better than Cimino. So let me tell you.
Reed Tuckerwood, in his brand new book called Slugfest, available right now on Amazon.com, The Lifelong Battle Between Marvel and DC Fans. Read it now. But go on. Go to your thing.
No, what happened with that is that Loki gave Silver Surfer his power too, so he was actually enhanced. He gave him his power to, and he kind of corrupted his mind because he was such a he had such an honorable, and he was such an honorable character. So when he fought Thor, it was actually his power and Loki's power together against Thor. But Thor actually admits, Silver Surfer actually admits that the Mjolnir is more powerful than his cosmic power.
No.
Yes.
No.
And at the end of the fight, he has Thor on the ropes, but then he kind of comes out of his haze and out of his ways. So, wait a second, Mitch, are you trying to fight me right now that Thor, and this is written by Stan Lee, So let me ask you something. So what you said no was is you do not think Mjolnir is more powerful than the power cosmic.
Correct. I think the power cosmic is an ancient power that goes back to the time of when the universe, the whole creation of Galactus and the Celestials, I think that's the ultimate power, not the freaking Norse god magic.
What Mickey is saying here is that Mjolnir's power isn't greater than the power cosmic.
Correct.
Okay. I'm gonna read you something. Oh, and just something else about number 4. When Loki is looking in the cosmos and he's looking for the most powerful being in the cosmos to come out and show himself, do you know who's the first being he sees?
The Phoenix?
Nope, the Incredible Hulk. But he says he's the strongest, but he goes he's lacking skill. That's why he didn't take him. But let me read you, can I read you a quote?
So now Loki is like a boxing promoter. He knows who's got the abilities.
He always was. Okay. Excuse me. On page 36.
Oh, here we go.
We know.
Page 36 of what? Of what?
No. Were you quiet? We know that the Silver Surfer issues were double-sized. So on page 36, this is a quote toward the end. When he's overpowered Thor because he has the power of Loki and his power together, Thor's trying to reach it, and he puts a force field over it. And these are the exact quotes from the Silver Surfer. I have seen his mallet's magic. It is truly mightier than my cosmic force. Let me read that again. I've seen his mallet's magic. It is truly mightier than my cosmic force. Page 36.
The Surfer says that.
Civil Surfer says that because he has...
Well, he was drunk.
Listen. He has Mjolnir in a shield, that he has it encased. And he said, then why should it stay out of reach unless Loki, too, has the power of a god? What if he added to my strength? That was the only reason why he realized that Thor couldn't get to his hammer. Because he knew...
Okay, so...
No, wasn't as powerful as the magic of Mjolnir.
Okay, so then stop. So then that means the Hulk's power is stronger than Thor's Mjolnir?
You can't use Marvel math because it doesn't work. Now, let's go on to page 38 here. Thor gets really pissed off and he breaks the force field, right? Mm-hmm. He goes, I say thee this, blazing anger doth fear my heart. But with one blow I shatter yon cosmic field, for mighty Mjolnir must be mine. He breaks it. Then this is Silver Surfer in his mind. He possessed more strength than I could know, but he did not choose to use it against me. He knew that even when he was powered up by Loki, he wasn't as powerful as Thor. And Thor broke that thing with one blow, saying he realized Thor didn't really want to fight me. This is written by Stan Lee. What do you have to say about that, Mickey?
I think Stan was on the juice when he wrote that, because I cannot imagine.
So you need to go back to Silver Surfer number 4, one of the most heralded battles in Marvel history, and read that.
All right, I will go over to my omnibus. I have it there on the wall.
Okay, so Mitch, this is what I want you to do. Later today, I want you to go and read Silver Surfer number 4. Read that and then call me and tell me.
I will get it. I will lay on the floor like I do when I read my comic books, and I will read that book. And that, by the way, going off topic here for a minute, we were supposed to be talking about the movie, but there was a troubling photo you said the other day that I posted on Facebook of what I do when I get my comic books, because I've been doing this since I've been 5 years old. Let me wait. I have to tell people, the 4 people that listen, that what is happening. I get my stack of comic books. I find my little quiet spot there on the living room floor when no one's around, typically. Yeah. Everyone goes to bed. This is what I've been doing since I was a child. And I would just stack my comics. I put them in the order that I want to read them based on the covers. Wait, I'm not done. And then I just sit there. The TV might be on. I'll lower the volume so it doesn't distract me, so I can still see what's going on. The other day I had the World Series on. I was looking up at the game. And then my dog. I've had various dogs in my life. This time it's Harley. Harley Quinn. She's sitting there right next to me, stretched out, snoring away. And I go through my comic books, and I enjoy them, and I read them. And the other night, I was reading Thor versus Hulk trade paperback that we talked about last week. I had my other comics there. And I took a photograph because I had my phone with me. And basically, I realized this is the same view I've had since I've been 5 or 6 years old reading comic books. I'm 51, so for 45 years now, this has been a constant position I find myself in. And that photo troubles you because you feel that I might have trouble, what, breathing?
In your back, it's got to be. Because, first off, the thought of you laying on the floor like some big child with, like, diapers on, with your white hair, with all these comics, and you're, like, laying on the floor reading comic books, disgust me in some way.
Why? First off, I'm not, let's go back, I'm not wearing a diaper. Okay, I still have control of my bodily functions. I'm not incontinent.
I was just thinking, if I was your child, like, walking in, I'd be like, who the hell is this guy? Because, first of all, you were trying to run for public office
For public office twice. One the first time.
And maybe something on the school committee.
I was the president of the Fathers Club, yeah.
You're trying to be this big influential like figure in your like your town. And I'm like, get the hell off. Put comic books away, you child, and sit like a friggin' man. Just like lace on the floor.
I pride myself knowing that I am the promoter, the organizer, the owner, the creator, whatever word you want to use to make yourself feel good about yourself, because there are some...
Mayor of Fawcett City.
The mayor of Fawcett City. There are some individuals out there, they're low self-esteem, that have to constantly remind people that they're somebody and they like having titles. And I laugh my ass off when I see this because I'm like, oh, okay, that's what you call yourself. You know what I call you? Jackass number two. So, I remember... Okay, real quick, about the whole thing running for council. Yes, I did. I'm a very community active person in my life. I like to
I like to
help the neighborhood. I grew up reading comic books, and I don't have superpowers, but you can help other people out there. You don't need capes or powers to be a hero in your community. There's my little pulpit. But, and then I was going to say real quick, I remember working years ago when I got out of college, and I was the assistant art director, and the art director got fired, and I took his job. I was like 23 years old, and I went to the owner of the company, the CEO, the president, whatever. He had a bunch of titles, and I asked him, I said, hey, can I get new business cards? Can I call myself art director and marketing director and this and that? He goes, you know what? I don't care if you call yourself Gone with the Wind. Why don't you call yourself Love Story? That's a title. How about Moby Dick? There's another title. He goes, who cares what you call yourself, okay? He goes, why don't you just do your job? At the end of the day, if you do your job well, I will pay you. That's all it comes down to, how well you perform and execute. Nobody gives a crap what you call yourself, because that and 50 cents won't get you a cup of coffee. Anyway, and I do remember that. So going back to when you were saying all these things about me, yes, but I was trying to say that I do enjoy the fact that I am the owner, promoter, proprietor, whatever you want, of Terrific Con, the Terrific Comic Con that happens at Mohegan Sun every August. And isn't it nice to know that I am on the front lines with my fellow fans and reading these comic books week after week? And we know plenty of promoters that have never picked up a comic book, yet they say they run Comic Cons and they have no idea. To me, that's like being a brain surgeon and never watching an episode of MASH. It's like you don't even know what the first end of a skull is.
I know, Mitch, and that's why I love you to death. That's why we get along. But it's just the fact of seeing this big baby. Like, I see you in a big...
Like baby Huey.
Like in a diaper. Like in a big diaper, like no clothes on, just a diaper.
I have clothes on. I'm not naked when I do
this. I know, but it's just like, I don't know how I would feel if I walked into my house and my father would have all these comic books all around him, and he's reading comics like a big kid, and I'd have been like...
Well, so far... Maybe my sons have never said anything to that effect. Maybe that's why they don't bring their girlfriends over.
It would have been different if you were sitting at the table like a person. But like, I know I could fast forward. I mean, or I could rewind your life to like when you were like 5 years old. You were still sitting the same way.
Yeah.
I bet your legs were spread out. I bet you like you're just so comfortable.
Yeah.
And I would have looked at. I just don't know if I could handle it, Mitch.
Well, I think it's the fact that I have so many comic books, usually, I can't put them all, and I don't like the thought of sitting at a table in that erect position like that, bending forward. It can't be good for your back to lean forward like that to read a comic book. I mean, what is the proper way to do it? Our friend Matt Herring, a.k.a. of the Secret Identity podcast, which is, I think, the last episode's on today, Matt is famous for going in the bathtub reading his comics. Now you want to talk about being naked. Picture our friend Matt Herring sitting there. I assume he has like a tray that holds the book up. I mean, because it's going to ruin. The comic's going to get ruined with the water and the moisture and the bubble bath. And there he is, naked as a jaybird, in the bathtub, reading comic books. I'm assuming he's drinking his Mountain Dew or whatever, you know. That's next to him because he loves the Mountain Dew. Is that imagery better than me laying on my floor for you?
And then like I was saying before, Keith Gleason, our buddy Keith Gleason, the proprietor of Plastic City
Comic-Con.
He sits down, he holds the comic in his left hand, and his right thumb nail he chews away on it. If you can, I want anybody out there, next time you see Keith Gleason, ask him to see his two thumb fingernails. One looks normal, the other one looks like a rock from the face. It's so chewed up and calloused, and he just gnaws on it, and I'm like, who the hell do you think you are? When I see that, I'm like, will you just stop?
All right. As you accuse all of us fine readers, or us easy readers, how did you used to read a comic? Because we know you don't read them anymore.
I don't really read comics anymore, no.
Well, what was your preferred comic reading position?
Maybe why I'm a little upset with you is I lay on my bed, and I lay like you do, like on... I lay on the
bed sometimes with the books.
Yeah, but I don't say like it doesn't not anymore, Mitch. You got to lay on the floor, something a little more solid. You lay on a bed, you're gonna take it down to level, and you're gonna hurt your back. You got to go on a floor, something that can stabilize you. You're a little bit bigger than Mitchy was back then. So me, I have to go. Yes, I have to lay on my stomach, and I have to be on the bed, and then I look at him, and then you put the comic on the floor so you don't. You don't bend the binder or anything like that. But I don't read comics anymore. I don't know. Just the thought of you, Matt Herring, and Keith with your rituals. I don't know. It just does something to me. It just does something to me.
That is my ritual. Here's one for you. When you bag a bag and board a comic, do you put the flap on top or on the bottom?
Wait, say it again?
When you bag and board a comic, when you put a comic in a plastic protector, a Mylar, whatever, do you put the flap on the top, or do you put the flap on the bottom of the book?
No, it's got to go on the top. It's got to go, and it's got to be taped on both sides so you don't get the doggy ears.
Okay, there are some people that tape them on the bottom. They put the flap. That's upside down.
I can't handle that. Here's another thing. I knew Mitch.
What?
I knew a guy that when he put his the bag with the backboard, he would put the backboard in the middle of the comic.
Oh, no.
And then put the comic in the bag so you can see the front and the back, but the backboard is literally in the middle, and then the bag.
There's a brand new company out there that does these clear plastic backing boards so you can see the back of the book. You seen those lately?
I saw them, yeah.
Yeah, they're a sponsor of the Angry Geeks show. Because Louis Perry does a commercial with that. We should ask people how they read their comics. I'm going to poll people over at the Terrific Con group page.
Yeah, how do you read your comics? Because I would like to take a picture of... Yeah, and how about this?
What?
You can put up a question there and ask them to post their pictures, like of them reading the comics.
Well, exactly. Hopefully they're not naked in the bathtub with Matt Herring. Like Matt Herring.
And the other thing about Matt, he doesn't care if he gets his comics wet either.
Oh, I know. That freaks me out. I'm like, what are you, nuts? A wet comic is just garbage. I mean, I don't care if it's a little bit of wet or what. If you see those wrinkles because it's moisture on that thing, just throw it in the garbage. Done. Useless. Right?
Yeah, and what about that? Even today, we don't want to. Let me ask you a question.
What?
You collect the comics today, and even we know those comics aren't going to be worth
nothing. They're nickels.
How come you still take such pristine care of them? Like you don't want to bend them?
I don't bag and board them. I just shove them in a short box. I don't bag
them.
Okay,
you shove them in a short box, but are they in like Captain America's, or are they all just random?
You know, no, they're random because sometimes I'll get in that mood where I'll take a box out and I'll start organizing them. I'll put all the caps together, I'll put all the whatever Spider-Man's together, and I'll have the run, and then I'll notice I'm missing one issue in that run, and I'll freak out and I'll start tearing the house apart to find that issue so it could go there. It's a very OCD thing. I mean, you could sit back and we probably all have some touch of some psychological disorder that just, like I'm looking right now at all my DVDs lined up underneath the TV, and they're all the Marvel movies because there's about 20 of them now, and because if you count the Spider-Man pictures and X-Men movies, and they're all in the order they came out, like Iron Man's first, then the Hulk. You know what I'm saying? I put them in the order that they were released.
Are there any DC movies in there, Mitch?
I'm looking right now. I think the Superman extended cut I just picked up, for the 78 version. There's no Wonder Woman up there. There's not even Batman movies up there. Nothing. Nope. Nope. I was mad. You know why? Because the Marvel Spider-Man came out, you know? Homecoming last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And all these different covers come out. You know, you can go to Target and get it. You can go to get it at Walmart and all that. And I want to get...
No.
I want to get the Steel Book, which is like the very nice metal covers. And I've been picking those up. Usually they're only at Best Buy. And this one had the artwork by Ryan Mindnerding, the guy from Disney Studios, who was at our show this year. Ryan, he's the head of the art department. And it was a nice picture of Spider-Man fighting the Vulture. And they were sold out over at Best Buy, so I did not get my Best Buy Steelbook. And I flipped.
But you're the type of guy that when it's sold out, then you forget about it. You want it initially, but then you forget about it.
Oh, no, I didn't forget about it. I looked online, and there's guys selling them over on, what is it, eBay, for like $40 or $50. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to pay that for that. Come on. It's worth about $20. I ended up getting the version that was over at Target, which was like a little book that included a special disc that had Kevin Smith coming on doing the history of the Spider-Man villains. You know, that was pretty good. Why? Which format? You bought it. I know you bought it.
Yeah, I buy it, but I don't. I just get the regular version. I don't care about.
You don't care what the cover looks like? You're not into that?
No, I don't. I don't care.
I don't care. Well, I have like the Iron Man ones. I have the Ant-Man ones, the Guardians ones. The Guardians came out shaped like a little a tape player. Thought that was a cool idea.
Yeah, see, but then where do you put it? It just
no, it's on the shelf. It's just I'm staring at it right now. It's just I'm doing nothing, gathering dust, you know?
You just have to get it.
Well, anyway, Thor Ragnarok, how we started the show off an hour ago, was one of the best, one of the top five movies.
Yeah,
it was entertaining. Absolutely. I'm going to go see it again. I'm just already trying to figure out when. I'd run out and see it today, really. I have not enough. I got to get a haircut today. I got nothing. Maybe I'll see it next week with my kid. I'll take him to see it. I wonder if they like going to see these movies with me anymore. They used to love going to see them with me. Now they're 17 years old, and I'm older. I drag them. I'm like, just go. Just go. You know? Maybe they don't want to see. Maybe they don't like seeing them. I don't know. I think the kids all like the superhero movies. You?
What? Your
daughter sits through them only because she loves you.
No. No, that's different. She does like it. Not as much as me, but she does.
Are you going to go see the Justice League movie?
Yeah, I'm going to go with her. Yeah, of course.
Oh, because Wonder Woman's in it. That's why you guys want to go.
Yeah. I have to say this. I know this is going to drive people nuts. I don't like any of the other guys, but I like Ben Affleck as Batman.
Well, everybody loves Batman.
Get him into my head.
Everybody loves Batman.
Yeah, but I like Ben Affleck as Batman. I think he was doing a good job. I like that costume.
I don't like the ears. He looks too much like a cat. You know? He's very matches Malone. Did you see the other day I did a video where I was dressed as Batman?
I want matches Malone. Well, I want matches Malone to be Batman.
I want Scott Martin to be Batman. What else? So Thor Ragnarok is good. Now, do you have to go back and read all your old comics? Did you read all your Walt Simonsons? Did you know what Ragnarok is? Do you think the average person knows what the hell that word means out there? No.
No. And I never liked Walt Simonson's Thor either, so I was never...
Really? I thought, you know what? I like Walt Simonson's artwork. I just thought the Thor stuff was a little too wordy.
Yeah, it never was. I was into the Stan... I'm such a purist. I liked all the Stan Lee stuff. I was collecting comics during when those Simonson stuff came out. I remember the first Better Ray Bill, and looking at that, I was like, a horse? I hate this.
No, I have that cover. That's that famous cover where he's smashing the logo.
Yeah, I got, and then the one that they're fighting, and then they're holding the hammer.
Yep. Yeah, what about What about Hercules? You ever liked his character?
I like her, but just to go back to that Thor thing, my uncle used to own a variety store. I forget what the hell it was. He doesn't own it anymore. He sold drugs in the back room, and he got arrested, all that bad stuff. But when I was young, I remember going to his variety store, and they would have the comics there on the rack. And I remember seeing that Thor one with the Better Ray Bill. That's why I always have that impression in my head. But he did have comic books there, and that was all. And I remember getting Hulk Annual 11 when he fought the Avengers and stuff. But so that was a long time ago. But I remember seeing that on the rack.
Well, there you go. I remember I think the first Thor books I bought were the Simonson ones. Like, I'd have Thor. For some reason, I had Thor Annual, where he meets the Guardians of the Galaxy. But I never sought out Thor books. I'm like, ugh, Thor. Why am I? I wouldn't buy that. You know,
it's no, not something I love I'm thinking. But I like the Buscema stuff, and I like the other stuff. I never got into the Simonson stuff ever.
I was reading the Thor Hulk collection, that trade that came out the other day. And, of course, it had Avengers 3, where they fought. Then they had that Journey into Mystery story that you and I recreated here on the Power Cosmic. And then they had a bunch of other Thor Hulk meetups. They had the Defenders one, which was really cool. I was actually going to go buy it. Submariner issue 35. The Silver Surfer, Submariner, and the Hulk versus Thor. You know that one? You didn't read that? The Submariner issue 35.
Yeah, that was the first time the Defenders kind of all got together.
I was thinking that too. I said, isn't this technically the Defenders? Though Doctor Strange wasn't there.
Okay, check it out. That's the first time they all got together, all those three heroes. Because prior to that, Roy Thomas had Doctor Strange with the Submariner, and then Doctor Strange with the Hulk, and then the Silver Surfer. And so that was the first time the Hulk, the Submariner, and the Silver Surfer kind of teamed up. And you want to know a question?
What?
Yeah, I mean, I want to know. Here's a funny piece of history Roy told me. Mr. Roy Thomas told me. Do you know why in those first Defenders issues that Silver Surfer didn't appear in that, like those Marvel features, and he only appeared on guest appearances on those early Defenders?
Because Stan didn't want him to be in anybody else.
Yeah, Stan didn't want anyone else to write.
Only Stan could write the Silver Surfer. Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, so that's why. But that 35 is the first time the Defenders, those three guys get together and team up.
No, and that's the first time somebody other than Stan wrote the Silver Surfer, right? It's right here. Hold on. It's right where I lay down. Hold on. It is. Who's in this one?
It's Roy. Roy wrote it.
Roy wrote it.
Yeah,
so there you go. Why am I even bothering? Why am I bothering looking it up? It was written by Stanley, editor, writer Roy Thomas, Sal Buscema, Jim Mooney, and Gene Izzo is the editor.
And that was a great issue. And if you look, the best part of that last panel when the Hulk overpowers the Silver Surfer and the Submariner together. Did you see that?
Yeah. He wants no more to do with friends who attack him, and he punches them, and they both go flying.
And it's funny, Mitch. You've used a lot of the Incredible Hulk's, words now. Like, you like to talk like the Hulk every now and then.
I have to, actually. And then the next time they meet up here is in The Defenders, written by Steve Englehart, drawn by Sal Buscema, inker Frank Boyle. It's amazing.
Well, that was The Defenders 10.
Yeah, whoever inks Sal Buscema really helps this guy out, because that Submariner issue 35 is gorgeous, but if you look at Defenders 10, not so good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Could have been Russian.
Bill Mantlo was on the credits last night.
Who?
Bill Mantlo.
Yeah, he wrote the Hulk 255.
So why was that part of the show?
What?
Why was he listed on the credits for Thor Ragnarok?
Because he wrote Hulk vs. Thor, and he wrote the Hulk. He wrote Incredible Hulk 255.
Yeah, but why was he listed in the movie?
Was he listed or he wasn't?
He was.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Why?
That's a classic story.
Why? So anybody who wrote a Hulk versus Thor got listed in the movie last night?
I assume that okay, are you saying Bill Mantlo is in the Ragnarok credit?
Yes. And yeah, I asked you why.
because he wrote a classic called First Door Fight. I'm sure they read all those door fights to get a good gist on how that's going to go down.
All right. I thought he might have created that guy Kurg, the rock, the blue
I'm
rock.
I'm going to give Bill Mantlo this credit. You ready for this? Bill Mantlo was the greatest Hulk dialogue guy ever to write the Hulk. You read the Hulk dialogue until issue 272. Everything after was crap. But from 272 to back, you read, and I'll throw this out there, Hulk 252 has the greatest Hulk dialogue ever in a comic book. Ever!
Why?
Because, what do you mean, why? It's so, read it.
All right. You just make this declaration and just, scream it out. I'm like,
I'm telling you right now, the best dialogue ever written from the Hulk was in the Hulk issue 252. And Bill Mantlo wrote the best Hulk dialogue ever. Ever.
Is Loki stronger than Thor?
No. And just another thing. You've never had, how about me and Roy acting out superheroes with him going, Hulk, smash, Hulk, back. How about me making Roy do that? And that's some of the greatest stuff I've ever done. Because it makes me think of you when you said, bah.
Yeah, I do that to you, bah, bah.
Have you ever heard Roy do the Hulk's voice? No, that's what I have. That's where it's different.
Well, that's because you're a stalker and you hang out at the man's house. You know?
It's fantastic when he does it. It's so funny. Hulk smash table. Ask his fucking
Stop it. The language, man. Twice already.
But it's hilarious. He did it a bunch of times at Terrificon. See, this is the stuff me and Roy...
I'm sorry if I'm running a show and I can't just sit there and listen to Roy Thomas act like the Hulk, all right?
It's so funny.
One day I will come to my shows as a guest and not the guy who runs it, all right? I can't walk around and shake hands and take pictures with everybody.
You know what I'm going to do next year, Mitch? I'm going to have you lay down in that front aisle thing.
And read comics in front of everybody.
And to see, how Mitch Halleck reads his comics.
Like a seal that's washed up on shore. Like a beached whale with a bunch of comic books. Is that what you're saying?
Like a dead rock troll.
A dead rock troll. Really? You know, this hour or two, I could have gone out there and exercised and went for done something. Try to burn some calories. Talking to you.
Fantastic.
Oh, boy. So I don't know if we got everything accomplished that you wanted accomplished. I don't know.
Hey, go out and see Thor Ragnarok read some of those Hulk issues. Read some of those Hulk
I'm going out and get a haircut now because my hair is very long. I'm getting that. You think I look like Chris Hemsworth with my long hair?
You look like Uncle Marvel. What are you talking about?
Uncle Marvel with long hair, then. Uncle Marvel.
All right, we got to end this one, Mitch. And that's that.